Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody don't look like what they've been through. Hallelujah. You know, we're standing here tonight, and I was, well, this evening, and I was thinking about, while we're in worship, the amazing providence and grace of our God. As I find ourselves, we have everything we need to do what we need to do.
Yes.
So it didn't catch God off guard. It may have surprised us. It may have shocked us. We may call it unprecedented. But it's amazing that God still allowed us to have everything we need to do what he called us to do. Hallelujah. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thanks is always fitting because every one of us can give glory and honor to you for something that you've done for us. The fact that we're breathing right now, the fact that we're able to open our eyes, we're able to come unassisted in the presence of the true and living God. Father, thank you. You've been mighty good to us. You've been better than good. Lord, you've blessed us so much that sometimes we're literally speechless as we look over our lives. But Lord, tonight, this very evening, we gather as a group of believers to say thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want you to pull up your chair. I want you to get comfortable. Take a moment here. I want everybody to stretch a little bit and feel nice and at home. Latrice, they took your seat. Oh, bless the Lord. Look at that. Christ-like. Sacrifice. Hallelujah. Listen, I have a word and I want to share this evening with us. I believe God is speaking to us, and I heard the song of the Lord as it began to minister, talking about some different things and sharing with us just the goodness of God over our lives. Some of us, we don't look like what we've been through. We don't dealt with sickness in our bodies. We don't dealt with different things in our homes and our bank accounts, all kinds of things. And truly, the Lord has been good in the midst of what they're calling a pandemic, which is really the pestilence that's on the earth now. But God's been good in the midst of that. I was just saying if I get one amen. But that's all right. I got my own amen. If you don't understand, I got my own amen.
Amen.
It's built on the inside.
Amen.
Thank you, Miss Chris. Built on the inside. Well, I want to welcome our Facebook Live congregants as well. Thank you all for joining us on this evening. We're here at Redeeming Love Word Ministries in High Point, North Carolina. We decided to step outside, literally, and give God the glory. So we're going to go before the Lord with the Word of God and open up and just believe God to speak to our hearts and our minds this evening. I want to ask you to honestly be open, because this word that I'm going to share with you, it gripped my heart. And I believe God's talking to us in this time, in this season, but we have to understand how. We have to begin to mature, and we have to move from this place of complacency, this place of where we're dragging and we're nonchalant. This ain't that time. This is the time to sharpen your stuff. The sword don't need to be dull now.
Amen.
Well, let me step into the Word of God. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 7, it reads, a time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, thank you, and a time to speak. Tonight, I want to speak with you from the subject, embracing the kingdom movement when the king is silent. Embracing the kingdom movement when the king is silent. I've been looking around and I'm seeing a lot of things on the internet, and you're hearing people talking. You know, God gave this person a dream, and God said this to them, and God showed them this, and God... Like, it seems like God's doing a whole lot of talk with the other folks, but it seems kind of silent sometimes. Job loses his
finances. Job loses a portion of his family. Job is distraught about his future. And Job goes through all of this, and God is God silent. See, if the truth be told, every believer will deal with a season where God is silent. And if you don't learn how to deal with the season when God is silent, woe be unto you. So I want to talk about embracing the kingdom movement when the king is silent. You know, after those 37 chapters of Job, in the 38th chapter, God speaks to Job. By the time God finishes talking to Job, Job said, listen, I put my hand over my mouth. I had no idea what I was talking about. I done lost my mind. I don't know what's wrong with me. Why did I even say anything? I'm paraphrasing that. But Job did. He said, I'm shutting up. I'm not saying anything. I didn't know what I was talking about. And the amazing thing is Job had three friends. God spoke to those three friends. He said, listen, you need to go and have my servant Job pray for you. Because you didn't say the right thing about me like Job did. See, when God is silent, folks start talking. When God is silent, people tend to say stuff. And Job said the right thing about God, but his three friends didn't. Don't worry, Job ain't my text. I'm going to give you my text in a minute. I just want you to understand that sometimes God, well you know what? I'll tell you what. Let's go Psalms chapter 50. Psalms chapter 50, I want to start at verse 16. My first point is, there are times when God is silent. There are times when God is silent. In Psalms 50 and verse 16, the Bible says, I'm reading out of New Living Translation. But God says to the wicked, why bother reciting my decrees and pretending to obey my covenant? For you refuse my discipline and you treat my words like trash. When you see thieves, you approve of them, and you spend your time with adulterers. Your mouth is filled with wickedness, and your tongue is full of lies. He said, you sit around and you slander your brother, your son. While you did all this, I remained silent, and you thought I didn't care. But now I will rebuke you, listing all my charges against you. Repent all of you who forget me, or I will tear you apart, and none or no one will help you. But giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. If you keep to my path, I will reveal to you the salvation of God. Now, what are you saying, Pastor? Well, these were wicked individuals. And the people were wicked, and they thought God was silent because he didn't care about their behavior. See, if we're not careful, we think that God is silent because what we're doing, we think it don't matter. You know what? I am. What's interesting to me tonight is I know I'm preaching to somebody. Whether you here or elsewhere where I can't see, I know God talking to somebody.
Come on, Pastor.
I know that. Because somebody is dealing with the silence of God in their life right now. Something that they said they felt was so important. They were praying about it. They was going to God about it. But it seemed like God is silent. And you're wondering, why is he silent? Well, that's what we're talking about tonight.
Amen.
When you see this, these people were wicked, and they simply thought God was silent because they said, well, you know what, our behavior don't matter. See, we as believers, we can't ever get into that predicament where we feel like our behavior doesn't matter. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So our behavior always matters. You can't hide it from God. You may hide it from me. You may hide it from your mama. You may hide it from your wife. You may hide it from your husband. But you can't hide it from God.
Amen.
So our behavior matters. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 53. And I want to start at verse 5. Very familiar passage of scripture. I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation again. So I'm going to try to keep moving here. Isaiah 53 and 5. It says, but he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. See, the silence of God always has a purpose. You see, the king's silence is not for a lack of knowing what to say. When you look at Isaiah, what we've just read, his act of sacrifice screamed, "I love you," all across eternity. Even though he was silent, the act screamed, "I love you," all across eternity. I want to step into my real text for tonight, because I really want to talk about number two. Not only is God sometimes just silent, because that's what he chooses to be, and people think different things and they come up with different conclusions why he's silent, but I want to show you something really why God is silent. And I believe that this is where we are right now. I believe that this is where we are, not just as a group of believers, but I believe that this is where we are in America. I believe this is where the body of Christ is. You know, where are all of these people who were prophesying beforehand? Where are all of these people who were decreeing and declaring beforehand? And, you know, I'm looking out at the audience and I see all of you all with masks on. You know, just a few months ago, all of y'all would have been looking like criminals. Now you're a criminal if you don't have one on. Lo and behold, how things change so rapidly. I mean, if you'd have been in the grocery store a few months ago and somebody came in looking like you look right now, you'd have been thinking, oh, this something is about to go down right now. They'd have been coming in and you'd have been going out.
That's right. All right.
And now people have got the audacity. You come in and you, somebody don't have a mask on. You're going like, what's wrong with you? Where your mask at? They're trying to figure out, should we be calling the police or should we be calling the management? See, we have to be careful. But why? What is God saying? Why does this seem certain? Well, that brings me to my second point. Point number two, which we're going to close with this evening. I want you to get this. Sometimes God is silent to see what you will say. Sometimes God is silent to see what you will say. I want you to go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. I want to start at verse 27. The particular story that we're going to read is found in three different books in the Old Testament. 2 Kings, I think, chapter 19, 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and Isaiah. It's recorded three different times. And it's interesting because the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Obviously, this is something God wants. He wrote about it at least three different times. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 27. The Bible says, and Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor, and he made himself treasuries for silver and for gold and for precious stones and for spices and for shields and for all manner of pleasant jewels. Storehouses also for the increase of corn and wine and oil, and stalls for all manner of beasts, and coats for flocks. Moreover, he provided him cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him substance very much. This same Hezekiah also stopped the upper water course of Gihon and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David. And Hezekiah prospered in all his works. Verse 31 is my main text this evening. Verse 31 says, howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Let's see that again. God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. Now, this 2 Chronicles chapter 32, let's call this the Reader's Digest version. This would be the cliff notes for some of us that were back in the day. I forget what the kids call it now when they have the little, they have the little cheat notes. You know how you could go and not get the whole story, you could just read about some of it and think you're ready for the test? This is the cliff notes then. Because verse 31 will leave you kind of puzzled because you don't know the whole story. Because the writer is letting you know all of the wonderful works that Hezekiah did. He's letting you know about all of the things that was in his life that was going favorably, the things that he was able to do. But I want to bring you up to date on Hezekiah for a minute. So let's do a little background on Hezekiah. First off, Hezekiah has been the recipient of several miraculous events. I don't mean ordinary events. I mean miraculous events. Things that could not have been done any other way. For instance, Sennacherib, who was an Assyrian king, had decided that he was going to come and take over Jerusalem. He surrounded the city. He brought 185,000, well, actually more than that, warriors against the city. He was so confident, he didn't come himself, he sent representatives. They surrounded the city. They began to taunt the people and tell them how, you know, don't listen to what Hezekiah says. He's lying to y'all, saying that y'all going to escape, y'all going to get out of this. They began to talk about all the other cities they had conquered. And all of this, said, you need to just give up and surrender. Let us bring you on up out of here. And true enough, they had conquered all of these other cities. Hezekiah didn't have a force that could even contain all of the horses that they had because they had so many people. So it looked like it was a losing operation for Hezekiah. The Bible says that Hezekiah took the letter that the king had and he brought it into the temple. And he began to pray about what the king of had said to him, the threats that he had made to the people. And the prophet Isaiah got a word from the Lord and said, wait a minute, Hezekiah, here's the deal. God says he won't even shoot an arrow in this place. Say he won't even step foot in him. Matter of fact, he's going to turn him around. And sure enough, everything God said, it happened. So it was a miraculous event because that day, God sent one angel and killed 185,000 people. All the warriors that was out there, killed them, one angel. So miraculous events. Not only that, you got to realize Hezekiah, the prophet, Isaiah came to him and said, get your house in order. You're going to die. So Hezekiah gets sick. One of the interesting things, before the prophet could get back out the door, the Bible says Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, started to cry unto the Lord. God told the prophet, go back to him. I'm going to give him 15 more years. So miraculous event after miraculous event. These are not just ordinary things. Things that was happening that were beyond the ability of mankind, it was God intervening in these things. I'm saying all of this for a reason. So he turns his face to the wall. God gives him 15 more years to live. But you know, Hezekiah said, well, Isaiah, I need to know. Give me a sign. I need to know that in 3 more days after getting up from this sickness, I'm going to be able to go into the temple. That's what you said. So he said, you want me to turn the sundial 10 degrees forward? He said, no, that's too easy. He said, I want you to turn the sundial 10 degrees backwards. So God turned the sundial 10 degrees backwards. So it was miracle after miracle, all of these things, all of these wonders that are being done. Now, so Hezekiah's fame begins to spread abroad. Everybody's finding out what Hezekiah has experienced, the things that God has done for him. They're hearing about his riches. They're hearing about the things that God is causing him to prosper to do. They're hearing about all of these wonders that God is doing on his behalf. So now, I would like to take you to 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 12. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 31, we see the Reader's Digest version. Now we're going to see the expanded version. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 12. The Bible says, at that time, that man who was the son of Baladan, the king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. Now, for those of y'all that's not reading, y'all will know why I said that man when you read it. His name is like the alphabet. So, the Bible says that they sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for they had heard that he had been sick. So his fame, they heard that he had been sick. Hezekiah, verse 13, hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. So he's showing them everything he has. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto Hezekiah and said unto them, what said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in my house, or in my house, have they seen. There's nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come. Listen to this. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? Now, I know that was a lot for me to read. Let me put it in context. Hezekiah allowed these envoys or ambassadors from Babylon to come and to see him. After all, his fame has spread abroad. He showed them all of his gold, all of his silver, all of the things that he had, all of his possessions. He showed them. Are you ready? Let me show you why sometimes God is silent, because he really wants to see what you're going to say. You see, Hezekiah was prideful over the accomplishments that God had given him. What do you mean, Pastor? See, he acted as though he achieved everything on his own. If you read the text, according to what we will read, the Bible says in verse 13, Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all of his precious things. Oh, it's all your stuff, huh? All the house of his armor, all his treasures, all his house, all his dominion. You were the same man who a couple chapters earlier was turning your face to the Lord and seeking him so you wouldn't die. But now it's all your possessions. See, Hezekiah had become prideful over the accomplishments that God had given him. Notice this. He showed off his possessions, not his blessings. Do you hear what I'm saying? He showed off his possessions, blessings. See, we can't get this twisted. If you start thinking you have possessions, you forget who blessed you with them. There's nothing wrong with having the blessings of the Lord. The problem is when we try to start taking possession of stuff. So look, Hezekiah said, all my armor, all my treasury, in other words, all my possessions. So you have an opportunity for an envoy, an ambassador to come and visit, and they've already heard about the wonders of God, and all you talk about is your stuff. See, I want to submit something to you. Notice God was not silent when Hezekiah was down and out. Turned his face to the wall, saw God, God healed him. God didn't get silent until he got successful. Because now that you're successful, what are you going to say? What are you going to say about who made you successful? See, now that you have a time and an opportunity, opportunity and a platform, now that people want to hear what you got to say, what are you going to say about what I've done for you? See, I'm going to be silent now, because I talked to you when you needed me. I was right there when nobody else there. I done for you what nobody else could ever. Now you've got a platform. I just want to know what you're going to say. See, we think that when we're going through, that that is the greatest test of life. No, it's your success. It's your success. It's when you got that money in the bank. It's when you feeling good. It's looking like everything is wonderful. And I mean, life is great. So now what you gonna say? Is it because of your education? Is it because of your connection? See, here's the danger. Herein lies the danger. People get it twisted. And they do like Hezekiah and start talking about their possessions and not their blessing. See, his fame had spread abroad, but he did not use it to give God the glory. Not once do you hear him talk about what God did. So the prophet said, I want you to know what God's going to do now. Everything you showed them, they're going to come and get it. They're going to take it all from you. As a matter of fact, if you read the text, the Bible says that Hezekiah got 15 more years. If you look, Hezekiah didn't have any kids then. And the prophet prophesied to him and said, the sons that you're going to beget, the children that you wanted to have, they're going to be taken from here too and march right out into Babylon, and they're going to become eunuchs. Because you thought it was all you. You thought your accomplishments came from your strength, your ability, your wisdom. You thought all of that was yours. And when you had an opportunity to give somebody the glory that was due God, you took it for yourself. Now let me read 2 Chronicles 31 again. Now that you know the backdrop. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land. See, they came to one another. They're coming to find out about the wonders. They're coming to find out about what God has been doing. Their purpose up is, we're hearing some things that's not happening in our country. Beloved, be careful. Folks are coming to you now to find out what's happening in your life. Why are you able to go through this like this? How do you have all of this kind of faith? What is this? We're not experiencing this. And God is silent to see what you're going to say. God is silent to see what you're going to say. Are you going to say it's my possessions or it's the blessings of the Lord? That's what it all comes down to. As an opportunity, a platform to speak to people. Lord, I just want you to use me. He's about to do it. But the thing is, what are you going to say? Well, let me do one other thing here, and I'm going to shut this down. He says, verse 31 again, howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. So God was silent to see what he would say. You know one of the last things that he said? This is what Hezekiah said. God, he said, prophet, that word that you gave is good, because at least I'm going to have peace for the rest of my time. Hezekiah didn't care about what was going to happen to his kids. He didn't care what was going to happen to nobody else. At least I'm all right. Look at the selfishness of this man. Look at the pride of this man. And now, don't get me wrong, he was an honorable king in what he had done. But it came to this one incident, and it cost him. And I'm saying, you all, let's be careful. Let's be careful that it's not just all about us. It's, what about your seed? What about what you're going to do that's going to affect your seed? Because God wants to know, what are you going to say? Now that the opportunity is there, now that you've got the platform, now that the light is on you, what are you going to say? Remember when I told you about the story of Job? What God said to Job's three friends was, y'all need to go have Job pray for you, because what you said about me wasn't the right thing, like my servant Job did. Because Job, even though he lost everything, went through all of that, he still said the right thing. Sometimes God is silent to see what we're going to say. Amen?
Amen.
I'm finished.